I'm Sonia. It's been a while since you heard from us, but JD Vance has been saying some awful things, so we've had to move the studio from bunker to bunker, from Arctic Circle to Columbus Circle, from Mount Everest to the Challenger Deep. Oh, I've said too much. Take it away, Mr. Showbiz.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cowboys and Indians, we're back. Hi, hello, and how are you? I'm Sid Griffin. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, folks. Yeah, come on. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, we haven't had a podcast in about 5 or 6 months. The last podcast we had was at Outtakes and Rarities by the Byrds, the BYRDS Byrds, who are my favorite rock band of all time. So we're going to continue with a podcast follow-up, which is the Byrds' second and perhaps final. I don't know if they'll do a third one or not. Outtakes and Rarities program. And we're going to start it with my old friend, Gene Clark. Gene Clark was very supportive of the Long Riders and various Sid Griffin solo activities. And he was a lovely guy. I'm sad he's no longer with us. And before they did the Byrds' reunion album, which is a slight disappointment to so many people, they did a single, all five original Byrds, backing up Gene. And here's the A side of it. It's called One in a Hundred. And you'll hear David Crosby sing. You'll hear Gwen's chiming 12-string, Chris Hillman's distinct bass lines, the drumming of Michael Clark, and a great song and lead vocal from Gene Clark. By 1969, and the second Dillard and Clark album, was pretty much a forgotten guy in L.A. Now, that's an odd thing to say, because due to the Alison Krauss, Robert Plant albums, which have been so successful, some of Gene's material from the Dillard and Clark era, has found a new target audience. And so people talk about Gene again. But back in 69, 70, they weren't. So Jim Dixon, the original manager of the Byrds with Eddie Tickner, decided he would have a Gene single cut that he, Jim Dixon, would produce, and that the original Byrds would play in it. So that is Roger McGuinn's 12-string, that is Chris Hillman's bass, that is David Crosby's brilliant harmonies all around Gene's vocal, and that is, of course, Michael Clark on drums. It was the whole band. And it sounds great. The song itself, One in 100, was one of the original demos from 64 that caught Jim Dixon's ear and got him interested in managing the birds in the first place. So the guys probably already knew the songs. I'm sure in the World Pacific days, they worked on One in 100 and fooled around with it a bit. Anyway, the song didn't come out at the time, and it's a shame. It could have been stuck on the Byrds reunion album 2.5 years later, and it made that album a much better record, but whatever. It was finally released around, I can't remember, later in the decade on an album called Roadmaster, which only came out on A&M Records in Europe, I think in Benelux, and then finally got a release in the United States of America. And it's a great record. It's called Roadmaster. It's sort of an odds and ends Gene Clark solo album where they've thrown a lot of things together to create an album. It's not one session. One thing I want to say before we move on is when I was working for Nick Stewart, the colonel at Universal Records, he's the guy that signed the Long Riders. He signed U2. He signed Killing Joke. He did a lot of exciting things. I was working for Nick Stewart in the 1990s, and he had me fly to L.A. to go through the vaults to see what outtakes there were for the CD era, because CDs were booming. And I found, get ready, friends, 22 unreleased Gene Clark tracks in the A&M vaults. And I tried to get people interested in putting them out, and most people didn't care. Five of them appear on the 2-CD set Flying High, a Gene Clark anthology that I had come out in the late 90s. And so you check them out there. And hats off to me and, frankly, Jim Dixon. Hats off to him. We kept Gene's profile up when a lot of people just didn't really want to know who he was. A major talent, Gene Clark, from a major band, the Byrds. Speaking of which, and speaking of Jim Dixon, this next one's a Jim Dixon production. Where he's leaning over Terry Melcher's shoulder saying, do this, do that. It's called The Times, They Are A-Changin'. And it's not the one on the Turn, Turn, Turn LP.
Come gather around people wherever you roam. Admit that the waters around you have grown. Accept it, but soon you'll be drenched to the bone if your time to you is worth saving. Then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. The line it is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slower now will later be fast. The present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading. And the first was now, will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing.
Kapıları çalan benim, kapıları birer birer. Gözünüze görünemem, göze görünmez ölüler. Hiroşima'da öleli oluyor bir 10 yıl kadar. 7 yaşında bir kızım, büyümez ölü çocuklar. Saçlarım tutuştu önce, gözlerim yandı kavruldu. Bir avuç kül oluverdim, külüm havaya savruldu. Benim sizden kendim için hiçbir şey istediğim yok. Şeker bile yiyemez ki kağıt gibi yanan çocuk. Çalıyorum kapınızı, teyze, amca, bir imza ver. Çocuklar öldürülmesin, şeker de yiyebilsinler.
Yes, Nazım Hikmet. And please forgive me, my Turkish friends, if I pronounce Nazım Hikmet incorrectly. The great Turkish poet, playwright, novelist. He directed films as well. Imprisoned by the Turkish government in the 1940s, it wasn't released till 1950. He was a communist. He had citizenship only restored posthumously in 2009, long after his death. Where we're with that is the girl child is his anti-nuclear war Hiroshima song that many of you will know as Eye Unseen, if you're familiar with the band Misunderstood, the Southern California band, or more of you will know as being I Come and Stand at Every Door that the Byrds put on their fabulous Fifth Dimension album. The tune that McGuinn put I Come and Stand at Every... Excuse me, the tune that Pete Seeger put I Come and Stand at Every Door... Two was the Great Silky of Sulskeri, which has got to be a Celtic location that I don't know where the heck it is. But that's the story with I Come and Stand at Every Door, which I even put on my second solo album, and I'm As Certain as Sunrise. Now, before that, we heard The Times They Are Changing, which is much better than the version on the Turn, Turn, Turn LP of the same song. I don't know why... Bands frequently will leave something on the cutting room floor that's so much better than what's on the album. It's not funny. Now, that doesn't happen a lot, but it happens too much. Let's put it that way. So I got that version that you heard before the Nazim Hikmet song, The Times They Are Changing. I got that Dylan version of the Byrds doing it from the Columbia Singles, a Sundays, Sundazed collection. That's a label, Sundays, of rejected Byrds 45s. Crosby apparently hated that particular arrangement. There was a picture sleeve done for it. They're going to put it out. Chris Hillman apparently didn't like that version either. And they put, in my opinion, a weaker version on the album. So go figure that. Anyway, the next album made up for whatever ground was lost there. Fifth Dimension, a fantastic album. And here's proof. This is a song from Fifth Dimension by the Byrds, a Crosby McGuinn composition called I See You.
Behind your hair, everywhere I see you. I see you. Turn down eyes, can't tell lies, empathize. I see you. Sliding sun through the cave of your hair, wind washing fields, kind of space living there. I see you. I know you. Met before, seventh floor, First World War. I know you. There. Hello, fair. I'm aware that you care. Who lives there? Three specks bright spiraling out in the sky. Catch my eye and turn my head. Have to look, don't know why. Who lives there? For a while, edge of smile, just a silent thought. I see you under there, behind your hair, everywhere.
Psychedelic guitar, if you ask me. I think psychedelic guitar actually began with McGuinn's solo on the first album, a song called It's No Use. But listen to that. Streets ahead of what other bands are doing at the time. I See You. 1966, that came out in the autumn. What a great song, a McGuinn Crosby song. Now, that's a different sound, some of you Byrds fanatics are saying. It was remastered by Sundazed for an LP they put out of Fifth Dimension Outtakes, Fifth Dimension being the third Byrds album. The name of this Outtakes album that Sundazed Records put out was Another Dimension. So look for the vinyl-only release, Another Dimension, and that's where you get the unvarnished Fifth Dimension songs, and including some outtakes, I Know You're Writer, and a jam on John Reilly that's just fantastic to hear. Now, the reason I'm talking about psychedelic guitar, which McGuinn, if he didn't invent, certainly was there at the birth of it. When the Byrds went out on tour in 1965, they rigged up some kind of a tape machine, a reel-to-reel tape machine. There weren't cassettes yet. They had a reel-to-reel tape machine. And on one side, they had Ravi Shankar, and on the other side, they had a couple of John Coltrane albums. One of them was from his an album that had live cuts from the Village Vanguard. And we're going to hear one of these live cuts from his album Impressions. The song's called India. And on the 1965 tour, this and a Coltrane album called Africa /Brass were on one side of the reel-to-reel tape. And the other side of the reel-to-reel tape was Ravi Shankar. So what are you going to do? You can see where they're going to go. The next album's going to have things like the Coltrane-esque solo on 8 Miles High and the Coltrane-esque solo on a song like I See You. Anyway, cutting to the track, to short, this is India. It's 16 minutes long. It's beautiful. There's a reason we revere John Coltrane. Listen to the riff. Coltrane plays at 1:48 into the song. Listen to the riff that Coltrane plays at 2:03 into the song. And tell me, Roger McGuinn didn't love this tune. Take it away, boys. Thank you.
Thank you.
fearless than John Coltrane. Hardly anybody I can think of. I think that's McCoy Tyner on piano, as I recall. Elvin Jones on drums, as I recall. Well, those dudes were fearless. Fearless is the word. And many people are going to say, well, that's as far ahead of the Byrds as I see you as ahead of the Byrds' contemporaries. You're bragging on how great the Byrds were back in 65, 66, and how they're ahead of their contemporaries. Look how far ahead Coltrane is of them. Well, Coltrane was ahead of everybody. The guy, just a genius. His death in the mid-60s, was 66? It's robbed the music world of something as much as Buddy Holly or Hendrix or anyone you could name. Anyway, moving along, people are thinking, if the Byrds are so far ahead, why are girls still screaming at them like they did? Just girls screamed at Prince Valiant boys with bowl haircuts back in the 60s. It's just what they did. I can prove it. I have a mere 30 seconds. This is all I've got. I'm not fading it in or out because I have the rest of the concert. I have a whopping 30 seconds I'm going to play now of the Byrds. Gene's left, true. And they went on tour back east without him. It's a four-piece. They're at Symphony Hall in Newark, New Jersey, March 27th, 1966. Here's 30 seconds of what was going on in the Byrds' world or about the same time.
Everybody has been burned before. Everybody knows the pain. Anyone in this place can tell you to your face why you shouldn't fall in love again. Everybody knows it never works. Everybody knows, and me, I know that door that shuts just before you get to the dream you see. I know all too well how to turn and run, how to hide behind a bitter wall of blue. But you die inside if you try to hide. So I guess instead I'll love you.
That's Sid Griffin doodling along with David Crosby. He cut that in late 64. It dazzled the guys in the band, and they later put it on an album in 1967 called Younger Than Yesterday, a terrific record by the Byrds, arguably their best record, if not the next album, which was called The Notorious Byrd Brothers. Alas, after The Notorious Byrd Brothers, Crosby left or was fired. Michael Clark is now out. So what are the guys going to do? They record a country and western album called Sweetheart of the Rodeo. And many of you know the story if you're a Byrds fanatic like myself, or if you're a casual fan, you probably know the story. Graham Parsons joined the Byrds for Sweetheart of the Rodeo, got Hillman and McGuinn to agree to go in a more country and western direction. Complete turnaround from their psychedelic previous recordings. And Graham, while he did sing on some of the album, he'd been in a band called the International Submarine Band with John Nuis. Yes, it's pronounced Nuis. It's mispronounced all over the world. I knew the guy. It was pronounced Nuis. Take my word for it. So anyway, Lee Hazelwood, who owned the label that the International Submarine Band album Safe at Home was on, he was furious. He told Columbia Records, I'm going to sue if Graham's vocals are used on the record, and that allegedly, this is the story, they had to replace some of Graham's vocals. McGuinn and Hillman replaced some of Graham's vocals. They've been sort of sheepish about it. Roger said he doesn't think his vocal in The Christian Life's very good, but their vocal on something like Nothing Was Delivered, I mean, that's just fantastic. And 100 years from now, the vocal that McGuinn and Hillman do is fantastic. I think it's a better 100 years from now, says he, without Graham's vocal on it. I love what they did. Anyway, this is the original version of The Christian Life by the Louvin Brothers that Graham got the guys to record, that they then Roger McGuinn had to go do the vocal because they couldn't use Graham's. It's from their album, the Louvin Brothers Classic Album, and I mean that seriously, sincerely, I'm not joking. It's called Satan Is Real. It's got a crazy cover, and if you look up the Louvin Brothers' Satan Is Real and Google that cover, those are automobile tires behind them burning. I know this because I wrote a big article on this album cover, just the album cover, for Q Magazine. I found the guys that did some of the photography and the old long-since retired art director, and they were so close to the burning tires and that ridiculous red devil that they'd painted and stuck in the tires that it was either Charlie or Ira's suit was not only getting charred, it was starting to threatening to catch on fire. True story. Anyway, this is the song that Graham loved that he got the Byrds to do on Sweetheart of the Rodeo. Take it away, Charlie. Take it away, Ira. Satan is real. You need the Christian life.
I like the Christian life. My buddies tell me that I should have waited. They say I'm missing a whole world of fun, but I am happy and I sing with pride. I like the Christian life. I won't lose a friend by heeding God's call, for what is a friend who'd want you to fall? Others find pleasure in things I despise. I like the Christian life. My buddies shun me since I've turned to Jesus, but I still love them. They burden my heart. I'll try to lead them to walk in the light. I like the Christian life. I won't lose a friend by heeding God's call, for what is a friend who'd want you to fall? Others find pleasure in things I despise. I like the Christian life.
were piled in their creosote dumps. You're flying them back to the Mexican border. It takes all their money to wade back again. Goodbye to my one, goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos, Jesus y Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane. All they will call you will be deportee. My father's own father, he waded that river. They took all the money he made in his life. My sisters and brothers come work in the fruit fields. Rode that truck till they went down and died. Some of us are illegal and others not wanted. Our work contract's out and we have to move on. 600 miles to that Mexican border. They chase us like rustlers, like outlaws, like thieves. Adios, mis amigos, Jesus y Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane. For all they will call you will be deportees. The skyplane caught fire over Los Gatos Canyon. A fireball of lightning and shook all our hills. Are all these dear friends all scattered like dry leaves? The radio says they are just deported. Is the best way we can raise our good orchards? Is this the best way we can grow our good crops? To die and be scattered, to rot on the topsoil, to be called by no name except deportee.
Voice. 3 weeks ago, folks, I left the underground bunker with Sonia and I played the Glastonbury Festival in Glastonbury, England. After me was a gospel choir. After that was Judy Collins. And I was backstage talking to a woman with a handkerchief and I thought, God, she's got a handkerchief over her head. You know, and she's got the bluest eyes on God's green earth. And I realized within about a minute I was talking to Judy Collins. And that's Judy Collins from her third album. The importance of the third album to any Birds fan can't be understated because Roger McGuinn, then Jim McGuinn, played second guitar and banjo on it. And also, there's three Birds-connected songs on the album Judy Collins 3, which is Logic Dictates, was her third album, came out in 1964. She does a version of that song there, Deportee, Plane Wreck at Los Gatos, the Woody Guthrie classic that Roger McGuinn and the Clarence White era Byrds, recorded on the Easy Rider, Ballad of Easy Rider album. She does a version of Turn, 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 which, of course, Roger McGuinn did the arranging of on this record. That's where he got the idea to do it as a single for the Byrds a little over a year later. And there's also a version of The Bells of Rimini. So that's three Byrd songs on Judy Collins 3 that, you know, grabbed the attention of anybody in the Byrds, plus McGuinn's on it. But when I'm reading the liner notes, McGuinn is all over the first two. But oddly enough, Bells of Rimini, which is actually pronounced Rumney, forgive me, my Welsh friends, there's no such town as Rimini, it's Rumney. Bells of Rumney is actually arranged not by Roger McGuinn, or Jim McGuinn as he was, it's arranged by Walter Rame. And the 12-string guitar on Bells of Rumney is played by Walter Rame, not Roger, then Jim McGuinn on that record. So go figure that one. The 12-string guitar is the hallmark of the Byrds as much as the level of songwriting or the great harmonies. That's my opinion. It's a subjective opinion, but it's a subjective opinion I hold dear. For the 1970 album Untitled, it was a bit of a return to form for the Byrds when Roger McGuinn rehired Terry Melcher to be the producer, and they came up with great songs like Chestnut Mare. All the Things was from Roger McGuinn's rock opera, shall we say, called Gene Tripp, which was based on Peer Gynt. All the Things appeared on the album in a fine version, but this is the outtake version of All the Things that came out some 30 years later on the 2-CD Untitled issue. And what it is they've turned up Roger's 12-string, and I think that makes all the difference in the mix. I think this is a terrific version. Compare the two and dig that 12-string.
Sun, how bright it is. I don't know how it feels. See the sun, it shines right on my heels, but no one's there. I see form that I never share, reflecting in the air. All the things I want today.
The sun.
Okay, the next song is something most of you had never heard. It's Silver Raven by Gene Clark. You're thinking, hang on, that came out on an album called No Other in 1974. It's a classic album. I have heard it, Sid. Ah, but you haven't heard this one. It's from the new album, or new-ish album. It's the first time it's out on vinyl, called Gene Clark, The No Other Sessions. And what it is to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Gene Clark's landmark 1974 album, No Other. Yes, I'm reading this. This limited edition double LP presents the best of the session tracks for the first time on vinyl. New paragraph. Mixed by Sid Griffin and John Wood. That's the John Wood that's famous for Fairport Convention, Richard Thompson, Nick Drake. Mixed by Sid Griffin and John Wood for the original multi-track tapes, there are alternative versions of the entire album to offer you a fascinating insight into the creation of a timeless album. Final paragraph. Includes comprehensive song notes by Sid Griffin. Hey! So it's on 4AD, and the first disc is the No Other classic album, and the second disc is all the outtakes. Not outtakes, but earlier versions of it. And in my opinion, get ready for a controversial opinion, as classic as No Other is, it's a bit overproduced, if you don't mind my saying so, by Thomas Jefferson Kay. And I like the version of the album that John Wood and I did. It's stripped down. We've used earlier takes of some of the Gene Clark songs that are now considered such classics, like From a Silver Fowl and Silver Raven. We used the outtake version of Train Leaves Here This Morning. I think it's a great record. So anyway, check it out. It's on 4AD, Gene Clark, The No Other Sessions, produced by yours truly and with the great John Wood. And after that, we're going to hear Graham from the Sweetheart of the Rodeo album, one of his actual vocals, doing 100 years from now. But let's hear Gene first.
Two. Can fly far above the darkened waters, far above the troubled sky. Have you seen the changing river? Now they wait to turn to die, but they turn upon you when the sea begins to cry. Have you seen the changing windows of the sea beyond the stars and the sky beyond the sunbeams?
beyond your dream. Have you seen the old world dying, which was once what new worlds seem? Have you seen the silver raven? She has wings that barely gleam. Sun, and she tries to tell her sister that her trials have just begun.
About life, but
people are always talking. You know they're always talking. Everybody's so wrong that I know it's gonna work out right. Nobody knows what kind of trouble we're in. Nobody seems to think it all might happen again.
We love you. I didn't know the microphone was on. You caught me doodling on the guitar again. Okay, that is Graham doing 100 years from now from the Sweetheart of the Rodeo album. We miss Graham Parsons. It's a shame he died as young as he did. We've had the 50th anniversary of his sad passing roll by, and it just, God, the years just come on and come at you so fast you can't even think. It's a shame he didn't make it, but he's up there talking to Buddy Holly and Glenn Miller and Kurt Cobain, and that would be a hell of a band, wouldn't it? Woo! And Coltrane, he's up there. So anyway, I still think, as much as I do like the music of Graham Parsons, I still think, for whatever reason, that when Gwynn and Hillman harmonized to, and replaced that vocal on the Sweetheart of the Rodeo album, the song became better. Don't ask me why. Maybe it's just I'm a harmony guy. I do love the Everlys. I do love Simon and Garfunkel. I do love the way Lennon and McCartney harmonize on all those pre-Sgt. Pepper tracks. I think it's fantastic. Anyway, that's the Byrds' second and maybe not final podcast of outtakes and rarities that for the Sid Griffin and my wonderful engineer Kevin Stokes and our wonderful gal everything and announcer Sonia. We couldn't do it without those two. Who knows? We might have some Byrds in the future. There's nothing like a little Graham, I tell you. Everyone loves Graham, and everyone loves the Byrds. And if you don't love the Byrds, there's something wrong with you. And Coltrane, the Louvin Brothers, I mean, was this a good show or what? Right, I've got a solo album coming out. I've got a solo album coming out Friday, the 27th of September. I want everybody to be checking it out. I'll make a big announcement about that later. I'll be trying to do more podcasts. The reason I haven't done so many in this particular year, I've done so few, rather, is because I've just been busy. Things have hotted up in my musical career, my writing career, and I just haven't had time. It's wonderful to be here. It's certainly a thrill. You're such a lovely audience. I'd like to take you home with us. I'd love to take you home. My desk is falling apart. The submarine is starting to leak. The glacier is starting to melt. The whole mountain might cave in upon me. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I've got to go. Shecky, get the jet. Thank you, Kevin Stokes. Thank you, Sonia. Bye-bye!